The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
I want you to take the Bibles and go with me to 2 Kings chapter 3. And you'll understand when I get through this message, you understand what this is all about. If you hear with any questions that you might have, or you're watching by way of television and you're not too sure about what you're seeing, that's fine, it's in the Bible. If you need one of the bulletins for the notes of the sermon, you can raise your hand, the ushers will get it to you. Everyone that needs the notes, raise your hand. You can always collect them when you walk into the building. We need some more notes. Raise your hand. Hands are raised still all over the place, all around the back there, guys. Hands are raised all over here. If I can get two ushers to help her and take her back to the Spanish church. I'm not trying to rob them, one of their members. Well, really, it's all one and the same. It's just they have it all in the Spanish language. But, so help her, walk her over there. God bless you, sister. God bless you. God bless you, sister. We're so glad you came. And we're glad to have you part of the river. And we will need you to help us, help other people. Well, she's going to mess with everybody on the way out the door. That's normally what drunk people do. Personally, I like to keep her here and then just move her around the building. Hey, maybe bring her back. Yeah. Do you mind staying over here? Do you mind staying over here? Or you want to go there? Do you mind? You come here. I need you. I need. I'm going to move you around here. As an evangelist, I know somebody's probably sitting here. You come, huh? It's empty. Come sit here for a while. Yeah, but sit by her. Yeah, just stay there. I'll move you shortly. And don't sit and stare at me, because the more you stare at me, I'll move her over to you next. Yeah, trust me, she'll be coming your way. She's an evangelist now. And ushers, as they need help, you can move them back to wherever they're going. So let me read to you from 2 Kings chapter 3. And I'm going to read from verse 15. But now bring me a minstrel. Somebody said, what's a minstrel? That's what we had up on the platform here a while ago. The musicians, the singers. Bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. That's actually what you are seeing. The hand of God coming upon people. The Lord said this to me years ago. When the revival first broke out, April of 1989 in upstate New York, he said, get the people under the anointing. The biggest fight that we've ever had was to get people under the anointing, not from people, but really from the religious structure. Because people always question what God does. methods? Is that really necessary? But people might be all sitting in church looking like angels with halos and wings, but during the week people are in bars, and I'm not talking about the River Church, but I'm talking about the average person out there. Are you with me? They're in nightclubs, they're all doing all kinds of stuff. And then they come into church and act all like angels or statues. But during the week, every kind of thing is taking place. How come you're prepared to go into a worldly setting and make a fool of yourself and then come into church and act all religious and act all dignified? Come on. When this is about Jesus. Somebody said, well, Jesus never had meetings with people running around the building. You haven't read your Bible. The Bible says when he touched people, they went walking and leaping and praising God. What do you think that is? Walking and leaping and praising God. You tell me. How do you walk and leap and praise God dignified? Explain that. Do you have to go for lessons? Do you have to come Tuesday nights for lessons where you walk and leap and praise God and walking and leaping and praising God? And when you leap, how high do you leap? Do you tell the brother you exceeded the limit? We know you're happy and we know you leaped, but don't leap that high. You'll leap offended somewhat. And you praise God too loud. You don't need to make an exhibition of yourself. Something happens when the hand of the Lord comes upon your life. Something takes place. It's impossible to be touched by the Lord and still be the same. You heard her testimony, 20 years of depression from the time she was 16. Tried everything. And I don't even know the whole story because I've not talked to her. I just know what the Lord did. And the joy when it hit her come out like a river. It was like a sound of many waters. And I knew the Lord was touching her. And then when she couldn't speak, I knew that was God, because that was a sign. When a lady is not able to speak, that's a miracle. I just saw a husband say, oh God, if that can be for my wife, I'll be forever happy. Be nice. Be nice. When you step out of the realm of the natural into the supernatural, something takes place. Something happens. Throughout Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, we see examples of what happens when the hand of the Lord comes upon people. And I'm going to run through some things quickly. You can study them later, at a later date. When God appeared to Abram in Genesis 17 and verse 1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I am Almighty God, walk thou before me, be thou perfect. I'll make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, somebody said, why did he fall on his face? How are you going to stand in the presence of the Creator of heaven and earth and just act casual? As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for I made thee a father of many nations. And likewise, he did the same to Sarai and called her Sarah, mother of many nations. But they had to wait for 25 years for Isaac to come. And Abraham was 99 years old. How do you have a child when you're 99 and your wife's 90? How? How's that possible? How are things going over here? Yeah. Go sit over there just for a bit. Just move back two rows. Sit back over there. Just take her back over there. I'll move her shortly. Somebody said, what are you doing? You're trying to create a disturbance. Yes. Yeah. Drunk people interfere with everybody. Somebody said, doesn't this bother you? No. Let me tell you what bothers me. That bothers me profusely. Noise doesn't bother me. I learned to preach with motorbike gangs trying to ride over me. You try preaching when they're burning donut holes in front of you, and you keep preaching. We were in the middle of the most densely populated square mile in the world at that time. My brother-in-law was sitting right here. Remember the guy walked up and head-butted you, and nothing happened? Remember that? He hit you flat in the head, boom, like that, and you just looked at him, and he backed off because you should have dropped. Remember that? But we were going praying tongues for 2-3 hours before we went out on the streets. Remember that, Bruce? He smacked you flat with his forehead, flat in the face, and he said all he felt was the presence of God. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. A normal person would have gone to the hospital. But the guy backed off. He looked like a bull that had just got hit. He never hit a head so hard. I think he hit into the rock. Amen. Which was Jesus. Not the movie guy, the rock. In Genesis 17, 15 through 16. And God said to Abram, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt call her name, not Sarai, but Sarah, and I'll bless thee and give her a son, which was called Isaac, which Isaac, the very name Isaac means laughter. Because one thing that had happened was Abraham dug the wells, and the Philistines of life had blocked all the wells, and Isaac, meaning laughter, came behind and unblocked every well that the Philistines of life had come and blocked up. So God will come and unblock your well even today so that that water can flow. But let's just run through several things here where the hand of the Lord came upon people. Because you might say, well, I'm not living in Bible days, but in essence, you actually are. You're still living in the final chapters of being written even now of what God wants to do before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. And God wants to use every single one of you. And so obviously your name's not Abraham and name is not Sarah. You're not 99, she's not 90. But when God's hand comes on you, what does he want to do with you? What does God want to do with you? How many believe God wants to do something specific through your life? How many have had the enemy try to do something specific through your life? How many said, absolutely not. That ain't happening no more. That's not happening anymore. So when the hand of God comes on you, it's to do something supernatural. Every single one of you are here because of God's divine purpose and plan. And it's by the hand of God coming upon your life that God will propel you to do supernatural things. In your workplace, in your home, in the schools, in the universities, in every realm. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Sunday will come around and we'll celebrate. Sundays, we shall celebrate the goodness of God. That's what we're doing here. Celebrating his goodness. Celebrating his grace. Samson, look at Samson. Samson, the hand of God came upon him. And Samson had a very special anointing on his life. And that anointing was to kill people. No, seriously. I don't think there's anyone before that had that assignment, and no one since. Although I have prayed and thought, Lord, wouldn't it be good if somebody was raised up in that hour, in this hour? You know, how many glad we're under grace and not under the law? You know, but don't let the devil lie to you and make out like you, Samson. But he took 300 foxes and set fire to the tails, tied them two by two together, and let them loose in the cornfields of the enemy. And that's no tiny feat, let me tell you right now, because I watched on television where a whole band of Englishmen all dressed up in red coats on the back of a horse with the trumpets blasting, the dogs, and they shout, tally-ho, 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 old chap, jolly good show, old boy. And they chase off the one tiny little fox, and they can't catch him. And Samson caught 300 foxes. Then he took a jawbone of his mother-in-law and killed 1,000. No, I take it back. Take it back. No, so my mom-in-law, she's so sweet. And so that doesn't refer to her. But it's just some terminology I've used for years. But the jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 the enemy. Can you imagine a jawbone of a donkey? But that's also prophetically speaking, that God can use a donkey and the jawbone or the jaw of a donkey to bring a message. Amen. Like Balaam's, you know, ass. Yeah. Yeah. Which I've been called that. Which, you know, so I'm not really offended. I get called all kinds of names. Really, I just pass it on. I just do what he tells me to do. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, I don't like that. Well, then go talk to the Lord. What he told me to do. He not only did that, he walked off with the city gates. You know, the gates of the city were so big because the walls were so wide, you could ride 8 chariots side by side on top of the walls of the city. Wow. And you imagine how big those gates are. He just went in and picked them out of the hinge. That would be like going down to the Tampa International Airport and pick up a 777 and you just... And you walk off with the 777. I mean, something, you know, something that's beyond, you know. Not just human strength, somebody working out in the gymnasium. In Judges 15, verses 4 to 5, Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail, put the firebrand in the midst of the two tails, and when he set the brands on fire, let them go in the corn of the Philistines and burnt up the shocks. And also the standing corn with the vineyards and the olives. I mean, just wreaked havoc. So God doesn't need that many, 300. We believe in God. God's going to raise up 300 fiery, flaming Holy Ghost evangelists, 300 multimillionaires to fund the end time harvest. Can you say amen? It doesn't take that many. On the day of Pentecost, it was just 120. So it doesn't take that many. And we saw that from Gideon when he had 32,000 to go up against the enemy. And God said, you had too many. And so God gave them a drinking test, which you don't realize that this is the drinking test coming out of the river. Uh-huh. And so when they did the test, 22,000 went home. And then they had 10,000 left. And God said, you have too many. And they did another drinking test and they were left with 300 men. But the 300 men went down with the lamps and their pitchers. And a trumpet. And at the appointed time, they broke the pitchers and the lamps were shining and they encircled the camp of the enemy and blew the trumpet and shouted the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And the enemy turned on each other and killed each other. And that's what God will do so that God gets the glory. What God's going to do through you, only he will get the glory, because you know that in the natural, there's nothing you can do to even make it happen. But because his hand comes upon you, God will deliver you. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then David, look at David. David killed the lion with his bare hands. I mean, I'm from Africa. I've seen a lion. A lion's not a little kitty cat. Listen, even if you grabbed a house cat can do some damage to you. Who's ever been attacked by a house cat? Let me tell you. Them things are meaner than a junkyard dog. I tell you right now. You don't get on the wrong side of a house, Kent. So then, you know, you take a bobcat, and we see a lot of the youth running around with ripped jeans. We know what happened to them. Bobcats got a hold of them and ripped them to shreds. We know that. Amen. No, but then you get, you know, get to the cat family of the leopard, and then you go to the lion. Let me tell you, these things. Can you imagine grabbing a lion and tearing it apart? And then the bear, he took a bear. If you've ever been around a bear, let me tell you. Bear, if I'm around someplace and some bear shows up, if a bear shows up, I'm out of there. Back in 1989, and we were up in Anchorage, Alaska, and we were in extended meeting there, and they took me fishing on the little Susitna River. And I was fishing, you know, catching salmon. And they said a bear attack 500 yards away. And I said to God, do you have a weapon? He said, no weapon. I said, let's go. Well, the bear hit a guy on the one side, took half his head off, just with one swat. So this is not something. So the hand of God came on him and took the bear. So when David said in 1 Samuel 17, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. Notice what he said, because they don't bite you. They first use their paw, and then they bite you. He will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And then Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Which is always what people say. Well, the Lord be with you. May God be with thee. May God be with thee. It's time for you to move. Come here. Get up, please. All right. Just shift up and make room for a sticker here. Yeah, put it in there. If you don't understand her because she's Spanish, just go, Gloria a Dios. Somebody said, man, I went to the River Church. I was visiting there. They took the Spanish lady and they kept moving around the building. And I didn't know what she was saying. And she was drunk and muttering in Spanish and pointing at me. I know you keep telling me you're not able to speak. I understand that. That's the miracle. It's okay. You'll get your voice back eventually. It'll be fine. Relax. She keeps pointing at her mouth. Yeah. Pastor, like I must help her. I ain't helping you. I know this doesn't make for good television. That's another thing. I'm going to change the way we do our live meetings. In actual fact, people have to have access to come to web. I'm not going to charge, but I'm going to shut off to where anybody can just come on Facebook and mock and do whatever. Because these are holy things, you might not understand it. So, by the October meeting, you might have to verify yourself to come in. Like ID, name, address, phone number. And you can't call yourself Mary Poppins and come watch one of these meetings. We might have a smaller viewership, but that's fine. This is holy. But I'm not going to stop the move of God just to have some mockers and scoffers sit out there and think they know what's going on. If you don't understand what the Holy Ghost does, this point is trying to explain. How are you going to explain? I'll tell you what, if the ushers will get her and move her back into this back section under the television, just a little bit back behind the television. Just move her back into that section. Too many people just staring at me from that section. We're sending somebody there to cause trouble for you. Yeah, let that anointing come on you. Let that anointing come on you. Yeah, let that anointing come on you. Yeah, that's right. Let that anointing come on you. Yeah, yeah. Let that anointing come on you. Let that anointing get on you. Yeah. Let that anointing get on you. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, that's it. Let that anointing come on you now. Depression will go. Fear will go. Bondage will go. Addictions will go. Worry will go. Anxiety will go. Now look at this. Look at this. Look at this. If you stick your head out of the water just for a moment, just to listen to a little bit more before you submerge beneath the waves. Just listen. It's very important. So David took the lion, he took the bear, he took the giant. Say this on me, I'll take the lion. Say it again, I'll take the lion. I'll take the bear. I'll take the giant. So the lion will not take you. Neither will the bear take you, nor will the giant take you. The lion will not take you. The bear will not take you. The giant will not take you. Now look at this. In 1 Kings 18:46, the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now watch this. Elijah took on the prophets of Baal, killed them, broke the drought, and outran a chariot of horses. Can you imagine? You drive it down the 75. You drive up and down, and then somebody runs past your car with feet moving fast. And you go, who is that? And say, oh, no, he's a prophet of God. And he's just going somewhere. Try to think of outrunning a chariot of horses. This is in the Bible, the hand of God. What does that mean? You might be in a place where it looks like you can't get to where you're going. But the hand of God shall come upon you. And the hand of God will move you. The hand of God will propel you. Amen. Ushers, pick her up and bring her around the back. I've got another place for her to go quickly. I'm going to put it right in this section right over here. Yeah. Ushers, bring her around the back in front of the sound booth, and then bring her and put her over here. Just leave her there for a little bit. She's a missionary. She's from Brooklyn. Everybody say, the Lord will move me to where I'm going, what I need to do in my home, my marriage, my business, and it will be supernatural. And you'll be able to do things you couldn't normally do. Right there. Go around the back of the table and then slide in here. Yeah. Come forward. Into that aisle, yeah. And slide it right across. Just put it there. Some empty seats, yeah. Please. Yeah, get him, please. Please, yeah, that's good. Get him. Hallelujah. Very good. Amen. I know this is church with a difference. I understand that. Let the power of God hit the whole of Tampa. Let the power of God hit Clearwater. Let the power of God hit St. Pete. Let the power of God hit the whole of Central Florida. Let the power of God hit Lakeland. Let the power of God run up and down the I-75. Let the power of God hit Tallahassee. Let the power of God hit Miami. Let the power of God hit Orlando. Let the power of God hit Jacksonville. Kaporonomo rakatata. Rakatala mrobo sapapiata. Randa! Now look at this. Look at this. So there's a lady can't, you know, talk in English, speaks in tongues, basically, which is a miracle if a lady can't speak. Yes. Zechariah was struck dumb for 9 months. So there's a man struck dumb and can't speak for 9 months. I just saw a wife go, oh God, please let that be my husband. But it was as a sign. That was not the devil that struck him dumb. God did that as a sign. How many know if your husband couldn't speak for 9 months, that would be a miracle? And vice versa for the wife. All right, I mean, we can look through scripture here. Okay, Peter walked on the water. Everybody always talks about Peter sinking, but Peter actually walked. He walked to Jesus, sank, but then walked into back to the boat. Are you with me? Peter walked on the water. It's not natural to walk on the water. The fire of God is falling in this place. The hand of the Lord is coming upon people in this house. This whole next week, the remaining part of this month, will be supernatural. Anyway, Matthew 14 tells you he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now watch this now, watch this. Saul of Tarsus was struck blind and fell to the earth and was blind for 3 days. That was not the devil doing that, that was God doing that. And he couldn't see, but when he could see, he saw more than others could see and wrote nearly 2/3 of the New Testament. God hit him so hard, he knocked the S off his name and stuck a P there. So he changed his name from Saul to Paul. I was concerned when the Lord touched me that he would knock the R off and change my name from Rodney to Odney. Yeah, you can move there. Yeah, you can slip over. Yeah, you just go move over there. Yeah, yeah, go slip over there. That's fine. So watch this now. So Saul's whole life has changed. The early church, listen, the early church went out with power and preached the gospel everywhere. In Acts 11, 21, the hand of the Lord was with them and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. So God is a God of signs and wonders. God's a God of miracles. Hallelujah. Now, listen, listen. Don't let anything hinder you from stepping into what God has for you. Now, listen. 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 You say, what would hinder me from stepping into what God has for me? Listen. The flesh. The flesh. The flesh. We already had somebody storm out of here. So you see, they say, well, she's in the flesh, but the person storming out is in the flesh. Are you with me? I'd like to see you storm out of the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Storm out. Somebody said, oh, I wouldn't do that. Oh, yeah, of course you would. Of course you would. Don't come act all religious when we open the Bible to read the Bible and say, well, I would act that, because you would act the exact same way. The exact same way. But let me tell you, religion is not going to shake America. It's going to take the wind of heaven. It's going to take the fire of God. Period. And you're going to get criticized. You will be mocked. You're going to be scoffed at. Yeah, go back there. Yeah, go back there. Yeah. You say, why does she keep moving around? Because she sees the need, you see. When the hand of God comes on you, you begin to see the need. You feel, I must go to that city. I have to go to that country. I have to go to those people. Shake him, that's right. Shake him. Shake him, yeah, that's right. Get him. He knows better. Push him under the water. Push him under the water. Get her too. She was a baby in revival. They know better. Sitting here, they're all married now, and they got their house and all of that kind of stuff now. Go, go, go. Don't ask me. Just go. Wreck the place. Yeah. Yeah, get him, get him, get him, get him, get him. Wreck the place. I should put at the door the moment people leave to go to their car. Boom, sugar. Boom. Boom. She's a character now, I'll tell you what. Let me tell you, if she didn't get joy, I would never turn her loose. But that river is flowing out of her, you see. Yeah, keep moving around. Just move around. If she talks to you in Spanish, just pretend you know what she's saying. And you can just do this. Go, sí, sí, sí. Okay, so listen to me now. So don't let the flesh pull you back from jumping into the river, jumping into what God has for your life. I know there's a lot of noise, we understand that, but this is not a funeral home, neither is this a museum. And we have people here, many different tribes and tongues. Is that the cameraman? Somebody get back there. Is that the cameraman there? Has he got headphones on? Oh my God, he just lost a headphone. Bring him here. Bring the cameraman in. He was on the camera. Bring him here. Ushers, quickly move. Bring him here. He was on the camera. I saw him just shaking.
Wow! 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 Ah! Yeah!
from this day, you'll never be the same. For the hand of God comes on you. And God's going to use you in a mighty way to touch the lives of many. And from this day, I watched the cameraman just begin to wobble. Wow. Okay, listen. So don't let the flesh pull you back. Just say, Lord, whatever you want to do with me, touch me, change me. I don't want to be the same. I don't want to be religious. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to know you personally. You've got family members that are lost. God's going to use you to bring in your family members. They're going to get saved. All of your family are going to get saved. And God's going to use you. I'll carry on next Sunday. Tonight, my wife will be ministering. Do not miss tonight. I want that evangelist back here tonight. My wife will be talking to you later. I'll talk to you. Okay. I'm going to give an altar call right now. Everybody bow your heads right now. Just close your eyes. Here's the thing. Everything comes with the heart. We're from the heart. You make the decision. I'm going to surrender all to the Lord. And listen, give him every area of your heart. Don't hold one part back. You don't want God to have your heart only on a Sunday morning. You want him to have your heart Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And that God wants to use you in a powerful way to touch the lives of individuals. So right now, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to give an invitation. If you've come here today and you fit in any one of these three categories, and you maybe, first of all, you've never given your life to Jesus, let me ask you a question. What would happen if you died today? Where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? I want you to know there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You don't have to go to a devil's hell, because 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, the price was paid, the blood was shed. And just like that old song said, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath their flood, lose all their guilty stain. Today, the power of sin will be broken. The power of guilt and shame will be removed from your life. You might have come in here one way, but you'll leave another way. Today, he calls you. You say, but Pastor, I've done so many things wrong, whatever. Listen, the Bible says there's not one righteous, no, not one. God's looking for available people that will just come to him and say, I bring you my broken, battered, torn, bruised life. If you can take it and do something with it, I give it to you today. Nobody wants me. I've been thrown away. But the Lord says, come, I'm going to use you. I'm going to touch you. I'm going to change you. And you're never going to be the same again. Regardless of your age, regardless of your social standing in life, regardless of the money you have in your bank, nationally, it's got nothing to do with that. It's got to do with yielding your heart and saying, Lord, here I am. And I want to ask you a question. If you died today, where would you spend eternity? Where would you go? I want you to know there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And you don't have to go to the devil's hell, because 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, the price was paid, the blood was shed. And just like that old song said, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath their flood, lose all their guilty stain. Today, the power of sin will be broken, the power of guilt will be broken, the power of shame will be broken, and you'll leave here different. You'll leave here changed, never the same. Will you surrender to him? Will you say, Jesus, come? He loves you. He loves you so much. Will you surrender? He'll never force himself on you. He only comes when he's wanted. What would happen if you went home tonight, put your head on your pillow, fell asleep, and passed in the night? Where would you find yourself? It's about eternity. I told this to my wife this morning. I said, my job is not only to make sure that we can reach the lost and get people saved. I want to make sure that every Christian gets to heaven. It's a big burden on my life right now. An international ministry just said this in London. If I mention his name, people would know it. And he told the people in London, he said the Lord spoke to him just recently and said that he was going to be one of the people that the Lord said, depart from me, I never knew you. Wow. That's very scary. So this is not a game. There's a fight on for the souls of men. There's a fight on for the souls of men. I don't want one person lost. No one. Not one. Not even my enemies. Somebody said, you mean you'd pray for your enemies that they would be saved? Yes. 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 So will you surrender your life to him today? Secondly, maybe you've come to this place and you gave your life to the Lord in days gone by, but you've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should. But today you want to come back. Maybe something hidden, pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust, hidden things that clog the heart of man. People go to church all the time and their hearts are clogged. And they've never come to their place of surrender. Maybe it's not hidden. Maybe something outward in everybody. Here's the thing. Everybody reminds you of those things. Especially family. They always pick on you. Well, I remember what you did, you know. So you can never get out of it. Even if it's something that happened 20 years ago, they're going to remind you. I just dealt with a person Friday. They said, they're helping their family. They said, but the family is mean to them and they've been paying all the bills. And I said, you need to get out. I said, you need to get out. Because I said, the moment you get into that, he said, I travel. I have great meetings and anointing. I come back, I think I'm not even saved. And I said, yeah, because they're pulling you right back to where you were when you were 19. And I said, you're not 19 anymore. He said, you mean I must leave my family? I said, look, yeah, you either leave, you're allowing the demons to have impact into your life. Sometimes you have to say goodbye. You have to, for your own sanity. It's not that you don't love us, and you can carry on paying the bills, but it's sometime it comes to say, you know, I love you, but I'm on my way. For your own life. For your own life. So maybe it's something that's outward, everyone can see, but the Lord says, come here. I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to give you another chance, a new beginning, a fresh start. Maybe it's a storm that came against your life, a sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world. It rocked your world. But today you say, I'm coming back. Today I want to fall in love with Jesus all over again. And then lastly, you're sitting in this place right now, but you're not sure of your salvation. The devil's always lying to you, telling you that you're not saved. But today you say, I want to make sure. I want to know that I know that I know that I know I'm a child of God. If this is you, right where you are, if you fit into any one of these categories, I want to pray with you and for you. Right where you are, quickly, put your hand up and say, pray for me right now. All across the building. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Hands are going up all across the room. Quickly, quickly. Raise them up high. 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 I want every person to look at me right now. If you did not raise your hand, but you want to be included in the prayer, I'm going to pray right now for these invitations. Quickly, put your hand up and say, include me. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. God bless you. That's fine. She can raise her hand. I was 5 when I came down. That's all right. My grandson of 4 came forward last Sunday. Listen, Don't stop anybody. Just leave them. I want everybody that, I want you to look at me right now. Every person that raise your hand, quickly stand to your feet, quickly. Stand. Every person that raise your hand all across the room, stand, 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 stand. Every person, raise your hand, stand, 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 stand. Stand, stand, all across the room. I'm going to ask you to come and just come stand here. Come, we're going to pray together. Come, stand right here. Come, just step forward. Come right here. Come, 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 baby. Come stand here. Come. 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 Bring them from all across the building. People that you saw them raise hand right next to them. Bring them. Come. Stand here. Today is your day. Today is your day of freedom. Today is your day of liberty. Today is your day of joy. Today is your day of peace. Today is your day of restoration. He calls you. He calls you now. There's others that God is speaking to right now. There's others that the Lord is speaking to right now. Come. There's others the Lord is speaking to right now. There's others the Lord is speaking to right now. There's others sitting here right now. God is speaking to you. Quickly. Quickly get up from where you are and come. Quickly. Come now. He's calling you. Come. Come now. Come. He's calling you. You might never have another opportunity. Today he calls you. Come. He's calling you. Come. There's others the Lord is calling right now. Get up from where you are. Your heart pounding away right now. God is speaking to you. He said, my spirit will not always strive with man. Come. He calls you. 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 He says, come. Come down on all thy house. Come down and all thy house. Into the ark. Today is the day of freedom. Today is the day of liberty. Today, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month. Now, today, he calls you. Come, 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 quickly, quickly, quickly. He calls you. Come on, get up from where you are. Make your way down the aisle. Come on, God is speaking to you right now. Come, he calls you. 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 Come on, 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 he calls you, come on, come on, come on, he's calling you, 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 come on, he's calling you. Turning back. I want you to look at me right now. Everybody. Standing here, three groups of people. Number one, those that have never given their life to the Lord. Number two, those that are coming back to the Lord. Now, do you know how many people I meet? Even pastors. They tell me, they said, you know, I'm not in the place I should be. This is why these calls are important. Some say, well, what will other people think? Tell them to be quiet. It's you and Jesus. And today, he will come and he will touch you and take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. And today there will be restoration for you because he loves you. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to raise your right hand to heaven. That's where your help comes from. And pray this together with me. Believe it in your heart and say with your mouth. Say, Father, I come to you. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. And I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead. I will be saved. So, Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Wash me. Cleanse me. Change me. Fill me. Use me. Let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin. And I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this day on, I'll never be the same again. I confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith, in the finished work of the cross and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. Now lift both hands and just thank him right now. Now let me pray over you. Let me pray over you. Father, I pray that you would seal them now by your blood and by your spirit, that on that day not one would be missing. Raise them up to be mighty men and women of God and use them to impact this generation for the remainder of their days, that you would use them. And we pray this even now in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Hallelujah.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International in Tampa, Florida. For more information on the ministry of Drs. Rodney and Adonica Howard Brown, or for additional resources, visit revival.com.